and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another episode of Glorious Day, the radio show that God's called myself, Pastor David, and my good brother here,
Pastor Barry.
Yes, to bring to you the things God put in our heart that will help the church grow into being the church in a season of revival.
Mm.
And so this is our ministry to you. And you know, guess what?
What?
Guess what? That season of revival that we've been proclaiming is coming has started. There are many, many listeners right now that when I say Asbury Revival, will immediately know what I'm talking about, right?
I pray that's true. That would mean that there's a certain demographic then.
Yeah. Well, there are even some people that aren't really heavily churched have heard of the Asbury Revival that, two and a half weeks ago in the chapel at Asbury College in somewhere in Kentucky, I can't remember the name of it, small Methodist school, that revival just broke out. And they, instead of breaking for chapel, and I'm going to go to class now, they kept, the Spirit of God kept moving. It's been very powerful.
That's beautiful.
And for over 2 weeks, in the chapel, it's been constant, ongoing, day and night, prayer, praising, music, people coming to Christ.
Amen.
All the things that true revival embodies. It's people who've been Christians, who are Christians, reaffirming their faith. It's those who are not Christians coming to Christ, repenting of their sins, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And, you know, the praising of God and all of that going on. And powerful stuff, word getting out. There have been over almost 30 schools had come from others, colleges,
right,
had come to Asbury, and those students were getting revived and renewed. Again, so many baptisms, tons of baptisms of students. This, now, keep in mind, folks, this is students. Now,
the ages would be 18 to 22 approximately. That was when I mentioned demographic. For me, this got me all excited because I'm looking at the demographics that fellow pastors out there, you'll say, yeah, that's a tough age group.
Yeah, it is.
18 to 22. And yet, because the Lord is who he is, this revival could start with the age group that all of us have always thought was maybe lost or difficult to connect with.
We've always, to be honest with you, I've been in 37 years as an ordained pastor, and I've got to say that there's never been a time when there hasn't been someone bemoaning the fact that that age group is hard to reach. So it's not a current issue. You know, it's been going on forever. But in a minute, we're going to read some script. Barry's going to read some scripture that backs up what we're talking about here, at least to give you some Word of God foundation for this. But what's really cool is a couple of things, and we'll get back to talking about a movie that just came out, that just was released, that I had a chance to see before it was released.
Right.
We had some free tickets. It's called The Jesus Revolution, and it's about the Jesus movement in the late 60s that started in California, actually. In fact, in a place not too far from where my daughter and son-in-law live. They live in Oakland. They're actually moving today to Santa Monica, but they've lived there for a good while. And it started California, which has always been kind of a place where when someone says, there's revival in California, and then you would say, how could that be?
Yeah, what's the punchline?
What's the punchline? And again, if you're a Californian, please, we're not really disparaging California, but even Californians have to admit that back then, and even now, when you first hear the word California, you don't think of that. You think of liberal progressives running the show and
movie industry.
Yeah. And again, okay, liberal progressives in the movie industry, but you kind of political little weirdness and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot of good things over there. I've been over there several times, and it's a beautiful state apart from downtown San Francisco and stuff like that. But
yeah.
You know, it has a lot of beauty, a lot of great nature, and some incredible shoreline, but anyway, the movie Jesus Revolution, which is about the Jesus movement in that time, and again, if you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, go online and check it out, because absolutely a huge movement of God that it officially, I guess, ran until the late 70s. So the late 60s, about a decade, but you know, it continued to ripple through the American as well as in many places in the world, as people who were renewed, who met Jesus during that time,
mm-hmm.
brought the gospel to where they went. Some in a very small groups, and others, you know, nationally and internationally. So, in fact, my wife and I came to Christ during that time.
Okay.
And so we were products of what the revival that was going on, that the Holy Spirit was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, had all the earmarks of revival. You had people who did not have any clue about Jesus being led by the Spirit to open their hearts to him.
Mm-hmm.
They were hunger for truth. It's always been a hunger for real truth, absolute truth, as opposed to the relativism that then and now that our secular world thinks is the most wonderful thing since sliced bread. So but the movie was released, and they'd planned the distribution and the release of the movie long before the Asbury revival.
Hmm.
So because they had no clue about that, but God did. So what I want our listeners to understand and to celebrate is that the movie was released to, and I hope you could see it. If you haven't seen the Jesus Revolution, go to your theaters. It'll be in them for a couple of weeks. Powerful movie. It's not a documentary in the sense, but it is a historical, with some big names in there. Kelsey Grammer plays Chuck Smith, who was the pastor of the church that was dying.
Mm-hmm.
When Lonnie Frisbee, a charismatic Christian, I mean, charismatic in also the sense of his personality, but a strong lover of Jesus, happened to connect with Chuck Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck took the risk to bring him into his church, and long story short, is that sparked the Jesus Revolution in California that spread all across the nation and the world. And so Chuck Smith is going to be with the Lord now, but the young man that took up after him, Greg Laurie, is still alive and still a pastor of one of the largest churches in California. So that continues. But I'm really focusing, and Barry and I are focusing on this because I want you to know this is not a flash in the pan. This is not, you know, oh, it's revival, but it's going to die. You know, no, it's just having life. It's just like a beginning of a wildfire.
Right, a good wildfire.
A good wildfire, yes. This Holy Spirit is beginning that. So I want you to know how important this is. And, of course, because we have this ministry focus for you of bringing things on the air that we hope, that we believe God has given us to get you turned in the direction of revival, if you're a churchgoer and a church member and a believer, that maybe this is just something God wants to tighten a few nuts and bolts and, you know, get you ready for this. And if you're not a believer, then our prayer is that this excites you to the point where you want Jesus for yourself.
I have a story like that, but we'll get into that after
keep
this.
Your story, but would you, so Barry's going to read from the second chapter of the book of Acts. It's not going to be that part where the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, but it's just after that.
Just a moment afterwards.
Moment after, when after the Spirit has been given and released to the apostles and the disciples, there was 120 of them altogether. They burst out of the upper room, excited about the gospel, and Peter preaches his first sermon, and this is what Barry is going to read.
This is Acts 2, 16 through 21. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel.
And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord, David.
Praise God, it certainly is. And this is from Joel, but it's an end times prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
What we often, those of us that like to use more than two syllable words, use the word apocalyptic.
Oh, and that
end times apocalypse.
There you go. Well, you know, this is an interesting, I'm going to share something with all of you out there. David picked out these scriptures. And there are times when I just know the Holy Spirit is doing the work here, because these are things that I've been perusing all week in my Bible, and I had an idea in this particular passage here that we should do this, and then David hands me the paper, and there it is.
Whoa, but, wow.
You know, you were talking, David, about young people being drawn in back in the 60s and 70s to Christ. It doesn't sound like they were drawn into a particular church of any kind.
Yeah,
there were people who were celebrating finding Christ, and that happened to me when I was 15. Mm. I was a cool long-haired dude, you know, because it was 1971 or two, and
yeah,
and
I've seen
just,
pictures. You do look like a typical 70s teenager.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
An underfed rock star.
You.
There was a priest down in Fort Lauderdale who was a young priest, and the way that they start churches is a little different than the Protestant folks.
You were like I was. You were a Catholic in your youth.
I was a Catholic in my youth, and then I was just a cool dude. So I heard through the grapevine, because you know teenagers have their own way of communicating, very efficiently, by the way, that some crazy guy, instead of building a church, just bought an old horse barn and was converting it into a church. And it was on maybe 15 acres of land that he was converting into a parking lot. And he had all these plans, but it was just so outside of the norm. Mm. I was curious. So I drove down there and went to church. And when I walked into the barn, it was still a barn, David. There was hay. It was, in fact, the altar that he had draped a piece of tablecloth on was two bales of hay, and up in the hay lofts he had young seminarians with guitars, banjos, and a drum set, and they were playing, for the first time I heard it, a contemporary Christian music.
Mm.
And I thought, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now this man was on fire preaching the gospel, and he had a way of delivering the message that every person sitting in that old barn felt that God was talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's Holy Spirit stuff.
Yeah.
I left there, and I was on fire, and I couldn't tell enough people about it. I had my siblings driving down there. I took my parents down there.
Hmm.
My father actually enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, and the pastor was just a warm, loving man who was so excited about Christ that he was about to burst. You know, when you were around the guy, that's all he talked about was the wonders of Christ. And I went there for quite some time. In fact, David, he's the one that when I turned 18, highly suggested that if I was this excited about sharing the Lord, that maybe I should go to seminary.
Mm.
I was only 18.
That's young.
I just turned 18.
Yeah.
Pulled into the seminary, David, with my hair and everything. I was quite a mess. And they were so kind to me, even though I felt an undertone of horror, terror, and disappointment. They let me in, and I was there long enough to realize that I was not ready. However, when God calls you, even at 15, 18, 14, the calling doesn't go away.
Right.
When God
When Christ wraps his arms around you, you don't want to ever wander off. But we do anyway because we're human and we're young and we're busy and we're preoccupied with stuff of the world. But I went back, middle age, I went back. And it hadn't changed, meaning the seminary situation was about the same. What changed was me.
Yep.
Because I was a mature male who had gone through life, and now I was doubly armed with some knowledge, but I still had a fire burning in me from that moment when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, having found Christ. Not religion, found Christ. But I remember my friends at the time back in the 70s. So let me see, this has been 1973, 74. There were people in high school, little clusters of believers here and there. And it was like an echo, a remnant of what happened in California.
Yeah.
Here in Florida, where, what are they doing? What are those people doing in the lobby of the high school at 7 in the morning? They were praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were praying. They were sharing scripture. And when you see this age group so excited, so tuned in, it gives you hope. Because it's easy to broad brush a generation. Ah, it's another lost generation. You grump like a grumpy old man. You just complain about that particular group. That's not true. I know a lot of people that are that age that are Christians and walking the walk, talking the talk, doing the work.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad. And this Asbury, the photographs, I think you might have seen them online too, the photographs of these people.
And the videos from the chapel.
Yeah. These people it was crowded. It wasn't six kids in there.
No.
15 people. It was packed. And I loved the way in which their body language, the way in which they were praying was total surrender.
Yeah.
Because you can tell in that picture, just looking, it made me smile, because each and every one of them was not even worthy to stand up and raise his hands. They were either leaning over in their chairs, leaning over on the desk or on the floor, humbled. It was a beautiful photograph.
It's a powerful, moment. And then when you put that into the larger context of what the Holy Spirit is doing in this revival, and we know that over 20, nearly 30 colleges had sent students to Asbury to experience a revival. And you know what they did? Is they went back to their schools. Took it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And revival has broken out in many of those schools. And what I'm going to say to you, brother, and to the listeners is just expect this to be, again, a wildfire that's going to catch first in the rich, tinder, if you will, of that 18 to 25 year old milieu, which is predominantly but not exclusively the colleges. Now, let me put this into a larger context, because I'm really excited about this. We have lived in the last couple of years in a country that we know is divided politically. God wants to heal that. We got to trust him. He's doing it, even though we don't see it in the natural right now. But the political division shows up in divisions just throughout our culture in so many other ways. And the those in our nation who have most suffered from that is that same age group. And we have seen them. How many different videos have you seen in the news of cities on fire because of the Antifa people and the BLM people and all those folks out rioting at the drop of a hat and say, and I'm not a big fan of violence, and I don't believe that this, I don't think it's a God thing. I think it's a demonic thing. And destroying property and setting police cars on fire and throwing rocks through windows. There's no viable, nothing good comes out of that. But that same age group, whom we look upon in those videos of the towns, the riots and the violence, and we shake our heads and we say, oh, our poor, the youth of our nation, they're lost.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then, but God has heard our prayers, friends, and we have to look at the Asbury Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe and what I'm asking you to open up to, and asking Oak, you can ask God to confirm it if you want. He told me he'd be happy to tell you,
mm-hmm.
is that that age group, those kids, you know, throwing bricks, Molotov cocktails, burning, yelling, screaming, and hurting people, they're in his sights too.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit isn't going to avoid them. And if you'll notice, I believe that coming very soon, when you're going to start to see revival on the most liberal of college campuses. Right now it's faith-based schools, private schools that don't have a particular faith focus. But that's just the beginning. When you have dry tinder, I don't care where it is, it's going to catch fire
right.
when that fire is brought to it. And so why this is important is that, like the Jesus Revolution, which was the last big, great revival in our nation, this too is going to encompass not just youth. It's going to start there for the most part, but it's going to, every heart is going to be brought into the fire of the Holy Spirit, invited anyway. Some hearts will choose not to. That's sad.
It's sad, but that's, you know, when we open up our book of Revelation, there's so many people in that line in the great white throne judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give us ages. They're not right. all. They're not all 85 years old, but they're not all 18 years old. But,
right.
But you and I have had this discussion several times where we pray for certain young people to receive Christ in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's hard for my pea brain to wrap my brain around the fact that this could mean, David, millions upon millions of young people coming to Christ.
Amen.
Now.
In the next few years.
In the next 2 years. And these young people may have parents and grandparents that are unchurched, non-believers. And then their kids come home from college, and it's... In the old days, the kids come home from college and said, hi, I'm not Christian anymore, I'm an atheist because the professor told me to do that. And now the opposite will come, where they come home to an unchurched home, a home that has no prayers, no spiritual leadership, and say, you know, I found Christ. It's funny how God works sometimes.
God is so cool.
Yeah.
He's amazing how he does that.
And what are these parents going to do? How dare you go to that school and find Christ? No, they need to listen to what their kids are saying.
And it's because it's Holy Spirit that no one can really control it.
Mm-mm.
People want to, you know, and I don't say this to the disparagement of the Asbury leadership, the people, the president and the board of directors, whatever they are. They did, you know, say, okay, at this point, we're not going to keep the chapel open all the time. We have to get back to the business of the school.
Yeah.
And now some people can say, well, isn't the business of the school to, you know, make people Christians and strengthen them? And that, yes, of course. I'm not going to be critical one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, if someone asked me, well, if you were the president of the school, what would you have done? And I said, I would have continued to let the Holy Spirit move. And
sure.
See what happened. Mm-hmm. We'll make it up, make stuff up later, you know, with terms of classes, grades. That's so important. But right now, God wants to bring people to Christ of every age.
And let's not get in his way.
But going back to what Barry read to us, Peter's sermon, as he quotes the prophet, and had more to the sermon, but this was him quoting prophet Joel. Look at when he begins reading from Joel, who are the first people that God gives Joel to talk about, who are the focal point of revival?
Sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters, the young people, and the young men shall see visions. The old men, like you and I, Barry, we do get a mention in this.
Oh, that's good. I was feeling
it's an honorable
out there.
Mention, but the point is before anybody else will get caught up in the Spirit, God is going to draw the young people to him. And if you look back at the history of revival in America, mm-hmm. it's happened all over the world, but that when revival began, that age group, that demographic, was the dominant group that first caught the Spirit.
Right.
In every revival. So, you know, okay, God doesn't change. He has a perfect plan. But what it's cool is the youth, because they are, you know, youth are idealistic, and that is both a blessing and a curse. The idealism of youth can get them into deep trouble, you know, when they start getting drawn away to, well, I'm going to say demonic things, because the devil knows how to capture the mind of a youth, but they don't have the experience older people have. You know, their brain is still being wired. You know, they do different things with their ideals than, say, you and I, Barry, who are, you know, just
mature.
Well, mature, right.
I had to rush in and find a better word.
Please. Yeah, my wife keeps saying, don't tell you're old. Don't say that. Okay, I'm not going to claim it. No. We are more mature. But the youth, when they get energized, they draw, everybody gets, they attend to what's happening in that group. It's powerful.
Yes.
Powerful. And so this is what is happening today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a revival that's going to continue. And it's not going to stop for at least the next few years. And I believe it in my heart. What I believe God has said is, this is the revival you've been praying for.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to bring people, many, many people all over the world, ultimately. America's going to get so caught up in the Spirit. Revival is going to bring us to our knees, the foot of the cross. We can stand up then in Christ. We're going to be so excited as a nation. We're going to be sending people overseas. And people overseas are going to be hearing about us, and they're going to want people to come. And they're going to want to come over here, because this is the revival that is going to turn the world around for God.
Who would ever thought it, David?
Yeah.
America.
America. You know, we, and there are people now, keep in mind, folks, we're almost out of time, but when you pray, those who are praying people, pray, Lord, for the salvation of those who are in our government and those who are outside of it, but are all aligned with those in our government.
Mm-hmm.
We want to turn this into some kind of a socialist paradise, mm-hmm. which is poor use of the word paradise.
Well, yeah, I've never seen a real socialized
They all become two class societies, where you have the ruling elite and you have the workers who are funding the ruling elite.
That doesn't sound like a joyful time.
It won't be. It never has been. Look at the history of socialism. But at any rate, it's a beginning. We're going to be talking in the next two episodes more about revival, and particularly focusing on how God wants to work in the individual's life, the individual believer's life,
mm-hmm.
To enable us to more effectively serve him in this season of revival. Until then, it is time to say good night.
Good night, God bless, and good night, Tom.
And yes, and good night, Tom, too, and blessings to you all.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
And side, rich wounds yet visit.